In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we begin the season after Pentecost, a long season that stretches from today right through until Advent that begins on December 1st. And in this season, we focus on what it means to follow Jesus. These weeks ahead will be weeks that call us to discipleship, to doing God's work, building the kingdom of God, helping to usher in God's reign right here, in this time and in this place. We always begin this season on the first Sunday after Pentecost with Trinity Sunday. And it's an unusual Sunday in our calendar. It's not dedicated to something in Jesus' life. It's not a kingdom, it's not a season of preparation like Advent or Lent. It is devoted to a doctrine. A doctrine that we rightly call a mystery beyond our comprehension. The doctrine that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I know that Trinity Sunday, the doctrine of the Trinity, might seem like some kind of erudite theological exercise, but I would actually say, and I feel like I say this a lot about things, but I would actually say I think it's central to our faith and to our life. The doctrine of the Trinity is rooted in the debates of the early church about the nature of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? And these debates focused on very important questions. Is Jesus divine? Is Jesus human? Is Jesus human and divine? What is the relationship between the Father and the Son? The relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit God? Those are important questions. And wrestling with these questions led to the doctrine that we celebrate today, led the church to affirm that God is one God, revealed in three persons, all fully God. That God is created, is not created, but is the creator of everything. The Son is not created, but is begotten of the Father and of the same substance of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is God and proceeds from the Father through the Son. This debate, these questions arose because of what is articulated in Scripture. God is revealed in Scripture in ways that led the early church to ask these questions. The church wanted to understand the nature of God that is revealed in the Bible. In passages such as the baptism of Jesus, God is revealed as the Father, that voice from heaven, as the Son in Jesus, the Beloved One in human flesh, and as the Holy Spirit, the dove that descends upon the Son. Throughout Scripture, we can find the Trinity is evident. We see it in our lessons this morning, where God is revealed to us as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, expresses God as Trinity by saying, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness to with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So there's Paul articulating the Trinity, three persons in one Godhead. In the Gospel according to John, John opens it by saying that Jesus is the Word, the eternal Word present at the creation, the one who puts on human flesh and comes to dwell among humanity. And throughout John's Gospel, Jesus teaches how he and the Father are one, that he has come from the Father and returns to the Father, that he knows the Father and reveals the mind, the teaching of the Father. Jesus teaches the Holy Spirit is sent to his followers to be the very presence of Jesus with them, to lead them, to bring them into all truth, to be the presence of Jesus after he ascends to heaven. In today's passage from the Gospel according to John, we have that familiar account of Jesus teaching Nicodemus about the importance of being born of water and the Holy Spirit. This passage reminds us that it is through baptism that we share in the very life of the Trinity. And since the earliest days of the Church, baptism has been administered in the name of the Trinity. We are baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is through the waters of baptism we are brought into the life of the Trinity, incorporated to the community of love that is God. It is through baptism that we are brought into the household of God, into relationship with God, a relationship that will never end, not even at death. And it is through baptism that we belong, we are claimed by the Trinity forever. So our baptismal call is a call to a way of life that is rooted in the divine life of the Trinity. It's about sharing in God's work of creation. It is the call to care for all that God makes. It is a call to serve others as Jesus serves, doing so in self-giving love. It's the call of God the Spirit breathing in and through us, leading us into the truth of God, giving us the gifts we need to do the work that God gives us to do. The Spirit who calls us into the ministry that is ours. And so we are called to be disciples rooted in the life of the Trinity, who then also invite others into that divine life. We are sent out into the world with the power and the love of the Trinity, called to bind the Trinity to ourselves, to our very being, called to conform our lives to the life of the Trinity, allowing God to lay claim on us, trusting that God is with us to the end of the age. And so as disciples, we make known the love of God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trinity Sunday calls us to stake our lives on the power of God, God who overcomes any power that separates us, alienates us from God, sin, evil, death. We're called to live in deep relationship with God, participating in the community of love that is the Trinity. For at heart, that's what Trinity Sunday tells us, that God, the Trinity, is a community of love. Love binds the persons of the Trinity. Love unites them. Love flows within them. Love is active and dynamic and flows outward from the Trinity to humanity. Love is, of course, more than just an attribute of God. It is God's nature. God is love. It is God's identity. And it is a love that is not static, but keeps moving and flowing, and as I say, draws us into the community that is the Trinity. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are the object of God's love. And so the love of God flows from the Trinity toward humanity, inviting us to participate in the divine life of the Trinity. And so Trinity Sunday, above all, reminds us that God, revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is community of love who loves us and all of creation. The Trinity embraces us in God's love, invites us into God's community of love, calls us to participate in the divine life of God in the Trinity, and sends us out to then love all in God's name. And so the doctrine of the Trinity, Trinity Sunday, can seem like a dry theological exercise. We were talking in the discussion group about maybe getting into some of that Greek theology. I won't do that to you now. But it is not just simply a theological exercise. The Trinity is beyond our comprehension. Our attempts to articulate the doctrine of the Trinity only go so far. Language is but metaphor. But the reality is, this is about life. We are creatures of the Creator. We are invited into the fullness of life with God, into the community, even the mystery of the Trinity. And part of that call is, of course, to worship. To worship God as revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our lesson this morning, the prophet Isaiah is granted a vision of the ineffable God, of God sitting on a throne, high and lofty. So immense, the hem of the Lord's robe fills the temple. And God is attended by seraphs who sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I hope those words are familiar. We say them in the Te Deum at morning prayer, and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, when we come into the presence of God, revealed in signs of bread and wine on the altar, we say or sing those same words. Isaiah, in his vision, is experiencing a profound and also a frightening moment. The house shakes, it fills with smoke. Isaiah worries, will he remain alive, seeing God? And yet, Isaiah, in his human frailty, is allowed this vision of God and does indeed live. Then a seraph takes a hot burning coal from the altar, touches Isaiah's lips, and tells him his guilt and sin have departed. After being made clean, then God asks the question, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." From this revelation of God, Isaiah is commissioned as God's prophet, the messenger called to speak the word of God to God's people. Like Isaiah, God is revealed to us. God makes us worthy. God invites us to share God's life of love. And God sends us forth into the world to do God's work. Through baptism, we die to the old life of sin and death, and we rise to new life in the resurrection of Jesus. Through baptism, we are made worthy to stand before God, to behold the glorious majesty of God. God creates us, God redeems us, and God empowers us for the divine life we are invited to share with the Trinity. Our most fitting response on this Trinity Sunday is to come before the throne of God in loving adoration, worshiping God who creates and sustains us in love, worshiping God who puts on human flesh in the person of Jesus, suffering death upon the cross for our redemption, and through his resurrection setting us free from the bondage of sin and death. And we are called to worship God the Holy Spirit, that presence of God as close as our breath, giving us words to pray, showing us the way to follow, leading us to all truth. So let us this Trinity Sunday and each day confess the true faith, acknowledging the eternal glory of the Trinity, worshiping the divine unity and majesty of God. May God, the Holy Trinity, keep us steadfast in this faith, until at the last we come to worship at God's throne in glory with all the saints and angels. May we in all things, at all times, and in all places, worship God, who is community of love revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.